in the background of this part of Jesus' last conversation with the disciples is the song of the vineyard in Isaiah 5. And I want to read that for you so that you can hear the connections between this discourse about the vine and the branches and the parable of the unfruitful vineyard in Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it, cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Now, this is the parable of the vineyard in Isaiah, in which the vineyard is clearly the nation of Israel. It is God's people. And their not bearing fruit is that they bore wild grapes. What they bore was chaos. It was injustice rather than what God had in mind. Now, in this story, in this series of sayings of Jesus, he builds on the memory of that parable, which was widely internalized in the community of Israel in Jesus' day, and in the community of the Jews in the time of John. The true vine is a metaphor, then, for that which will bear good fruit. Jesus' parable begins with, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the vine grower. Thus, it is grounded in the relationship between Jesus and the Father. And in this sense, Jesus becomes the vineyard. He is the focus of the vineyard that God has planted. The community, then, the community of those who bear fruit is the community of Jesus. It's the community that is tied to him. Every branch of mine. The branches that bear no fruit, cut off, just as in Isaiah. The branches that do bear fruit are pruned clean. Now, this word in Greek has this double meaning. And once again, I think the only way to deal with this, when there are two meanings, both of which are picked up and developed, that the only way to deal with that is to translate both of the meanings. So the word kathaireo in Greek means both to prune and to clean. So they are made clean, that is, they are made pure, made righteous by being pruned, by being cut off. What is the experience to which this refers? Well, it is in part the experience of the community in the aftermath of the war, in which there was such painful pruning. Many people were killed. And it is also about the spiritual discipline that happens when someone who has borne fruit needs now to learn new things and to have some things cut off, some traditions cut away, in order to be prepared for the new situation in which they will live. So the word of Jesus has then cleansed them. It has pruned them. It has enabled them to distinguish between that which is essential and that which can be left behind. But the core of this discourse is about abiding in him. Now this word, abide, is a translation of the Greek word meno, which means to remain or stay. Abide is probably still the best English word to render what is meant by the Greek, but it has a somewhat more, pietistic feeling than is present in the Greek. The word is about staying. It's about remaining with him and in him, not leaving, not getting distracted, but staying there. And that whoever stays there has then an ongoing source of life, energy, creativity, bearing of fruit, and that is what it's at the core of discipleship, is abiding, staying, remaining in the vine, in Jesus' energy. So this whole discourse is then a description of that relationship. The branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. So also you cannot bear fruit unless you abide in me. This is in part a solution to the problem of the parable of the vineyard in Isaiah. How is it that we maintain connection with God? How is it that we maintain the ability to be fruitful, to be creative, to generate new things? Well, it's by staying connected with the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of him as the vine, out of which then the energy of the Spirit flows. Jesus also identifies in this how important it is for abiding in him to also mean abiding in his words. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So one of the ways to abide in Jesus is to have his words abide, to stay, remain, to get them inside you. And then you can ask for whatever you want, and it will be done. So there is this confidence that prayers, the requests of the people that can be simply asked for, to ask for what you passionately want, will be answered. And that in this, God is glorified in our bearing much fruit. So this series of sayings, this parable, in terms of how you tell this, focus on the listeners as the disciples. Think of this last evening, this last conversation that Jesus had with the disciples on the night before he was killed. Imagine both yourself and your listeners in that context, but also in whatever context it is that they live now. Where are they threatened? Where are they in danger of drying up and of having no energy? So in virtually every local church, this is an issue. And with every person's life, it is an issue. So if you identify with that situation and use that as a metaphor for the current situation, that will be a source of energy for telling this.